Hello and welcome back to Blacker Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We're back to discuss the final episode. Finally wrapping up the greatest ship that ever was and ever is and ever will be. Well, I don't think I can make that much of a prediction, but it's a pretty strong contender, and I don't see any other show right now stepping up to the plate. And thus, until Hollywood gets its shit together, we got ourselves one of the most beautiful, epic love stories done in a conclusion that really paid off for a Rishon shipper. If you were there at the fence, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. This is your celebration.
Celebrate good times, come on. Celebrate. Sunday night felt like our Super Bowl, right? We was out in all of our colors.
We had a wonderful meal.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rat.
And then everyone flocked to social media to express the abundance of joy they felt at this conclusion that honestly was given to me 2 episodes ago. I wanted what I got in the last 10 minutes of this episode that would have made that episode perfect for me. But everything additional was just sprinkles on an already delicious cake. I know me and the food metaphors, I can't get enough of them. The Last Time was written by Scott M. Gimple and Channing Powell, directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. I think I got that about right. While I really, 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 from a shipper perspective, love this episode, I think I have to adjust last week's score of Become to about an 8.9, because I would give this a solid 9.2. And that's because there were just some storylines that I'll talk about later in the podcast that I could have, just from a story perspective, and kind of, I'm also going to be delving through my own bias as well. So I think that part of me and the, I'm excited that Rishon got to be badass, that Rick slid across that table like a boss after throwing a fucking knife.
What up, gangster?
That Michonne got her sword back and they were reunited with their children. Those are the things I wanted that would have made me happy, and thus I'm happy. But the critical thinker in me that has to be honestly analytical does have some constructive criticism for this episode. Before we do jump into the recap and review, wherever you listen to this podcast, Podbean, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever good podcasts can be found, go down to the rating section, drop some stars, leave a review. My social media will be there as well. If you want to send feedback on the replacement show, which should be Shogun, you can send that to blackercouch@gmail.com, or if you have any lingering thoughts, you can leave those below. That's also where my social media shall be. This episode begins with Rick and Michonne
kind of getting their last booty call in before they decide to go their separate ways to facilitate the plan they had, which is to grab Jadis's dossier for Rick to get the echelon briefing from Bill, and for them to return back home. But when they realize that there is an upcoming attack on Portland, that they had attacked Omaha, they were responsible for the deaths of 90,000 people, something I feel is understated. And realizing that these people cannot be allowed to simply be put down by the civil justice system, that they need to be eliminated immediately, they go into beast mode with Rick killing Beal with his own sword, no less. And then using him after they make a makeshift bomb using the chlorine gas, which is a fitting and poetic justice-like ending to many of those there that, in fact, use the same substance to not only kill Michonne's people, Nat and them, but also used to kill those in Omaha and what they were planning to do to those in Portland so that they could be the last ones in society hoarding the supplies. This plan they had was not a plan at all, but that makes sense. Because one thing I learned from history is the people at the top that are enacting some of these atrocities and doing it in the idea of survival and nationalism and so on and so forth are usually batshit crazy. Just very nonsensical. Just go into any documentary about the Nazis and the people at top, you're going to be like, how the fuck did these people get in power? Which is a whole other conversation. So Michonne gets the dossier. They decide to, like I said, blow up and kill everybody. Thorne gets what's coming to her, because she saw Michonne and Rick and decided that she was going to stop them.
Right.
At the end of it, Rick and Michonne, Rick survives a grenade.
How the fuck did he not die?
It looked cooler than the deer. And then they are reunited with their children, Judith and RJ, and Rick meets his son for the first time. And we're all in tears and in a very emotional bubble. And it ends on that particular note with the Civic Republican, or the Civic Republic? The civilian government, they took over. They're reforming the CRM. They're going to help other survivors. And they're also allowing free travel from the city. Never mind that everyone in the city does not want to leave the city. The only outliers seem to be Rick, Michonne, and Thorne. But never mind that. That is pretty much the gist of the episode. Let's talk about Rick and Michonne and the way in which they express their love for each other. Although they talk through things, Rick says, I missed you so much. And the way that conversation played out with him talking to her while she's laying on her back and he has his hand on her back and she's just staring off into the distance, because she's like, oh, I know you missed me because I'm chafing from how much your ass is expressing that emotion. And then we get the line that we heard in the trailer, unfortunately, but I still loved it. Are we crazy? Certifiable. Then we have them kissing on each other after they meet up, after he kills Beale, with him expressing his anger over the time that was taken away from him. And how much he really hates this organization for what they did to him, from what they took from him. And he and she decide that this is the shit that they do, so let's just get it done. And they get it done. Then you had the moment of them being approached by Thorne, and they both just turn they back on her as if she ain't even a presence. Despite her having a gun trained on them and then hold hands. That was very, 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 very cheesy. But it showed that they were prepared to go down if that's what needed to happen. Because they were taking this place down and it doesn't matter what she said. And if you want to talk to Beale, well, here he is. He coming right now. I loved having John Locke as a Walker. It was great. He did a great job. There's some criticism as to his part in the series, that it was very small for such a big actor, but that's an imposition we put on said actor because they're so big, they can't be a part of a project so small and have such a small part. I'm sure that he was the role was just that. And I'm glad they didn't go that route, because I'm so tired of shows spending so much time on the villains, fleshing them out as if I should give a fuck why they're pieces of shit. So the idea that the head of this organization, that Beale would just be some guy with a story that we get at the last minute that all amounts to, I'm a scared little bitch and I have a whole bunch of power and I made sacrifices. And so I've gathered a lot of other broken souls that don't know what the fuck to do after making such sacrifices. And now I have power and I have ascertained with my scientists, because this is the Echelon briefing, is basically they have 14 years. He's like, oh, I like to spin people. All that monologuing, it was basically Rick just taking it all in, just looking at this person plainly for who and what he is. But Beale is unable to see it until it's too late, which I thought was a chef's kiss scene, was the highlight, is when he said, I'm going to look you in the eyes. And I need to know, you know, and then before he even gets to it, he's just like, no. But Rick's already across the table and in his life, then takes his sword and stabs him through the chest while stabbing him through the hand. I know I said in last week's podcast that I still stick by that preference that Michonne would be the one to handle Beale and Rick be the one to handle Thorne, in the possibility that Thorne may actually have some type of, I wouldn't say redemptive, because she hasn't really done anything to, in my opinion anyway, evil. But if there would be an out for her, I guess that's my thought process. But I can't say I didn't like the fact or love the fact that they went this route with Rick, because he got to take out for once his enemy. Because with Negan, well, he got to slit his throat, but then he had to put him in a jail cell because this is the new way and what his son wanted. With the governor, he got his ass beat. At the farm, while he killed Shane, he didn't walk away with that situation. It was like the dictatorship took over. And I thought he deserved. Well, we had Brad and them, the cannibals. I don't remember what their names are. I was totally fine with this, with him taking this win and then presenting Michonne with the sword, even though hers is better. And I'm so glad she got her katana back. I think I mentioned that already, but that's iconic and I needed to be with her at all times. Not at all times, but you know what I mean. Michonne came in like a ninja. There was commentary like, when did Michonne know how to become a ninja? And I'm like, you do forget in episode clear when she climbed up that fucking building to get to Morgan? Homegirl been on some parkour type shit. And she goes into Jada's room looking for the dossier. And she ends up finding it in the cat. I don't know how I feel about the cat being there and that being the thing that's in the dossier. It's a callback, of course, to Rishon and all things Rishon. But why the fuck would she make the cat and then put the dossier in the cat if she didn't completely and utterly intend for them to come and find this thing? And then if she did, why the fuck? Yeah, that doesn't. Okay, that we weren't going to go down that rabbit hole yet. But that would be one of the criticisms. Then someone comes in and Michonne let all her ghetto out. Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. She knows she was dead when she put that stomp on her. Rick had his own moment of viciousness as he had that awkwardness when you're on the elevator with someone and you're like, oh, I think you have a little bit of leak. Oh, is that blood? And then you gotta choke them out and get them not to hit a button that would alert everyone to your schemes. And because he was really angry and thinking about all the shit that they did to him, unfortunately, that dude had to take the brunt of that all the way through his face. His family will not recognize the corpse. But Michonne came down like, Rick, chill the fuck out. Save that for later. We're gonna put that to more constructive passion. And then they enacted a plan together. I loved the shot of them taking Beale out of the container that Rick placed him in. It just felt very gangster, them looking down and then grabbing the camera up like that. Work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard, work. We're going to double back to Rick and Michonne when they were laying there on their little mattress and wherever the fuck they were with the candles and then their weapons nearby. And they were talking about what their plan was going to be and how they were going to signal each other. And that's how they were going to get to where they needed to be or know if the other was in danger. But just how beautiful Denai looked. Because sometimes the lighting don't be the best. I think I've already brought this up a million times. But this entire season or series, they have not slipped up. And I think the one shot of her where the camera's just focused down on her with her hair over to the side was just a really well done shot to highlight just how beautiful she truly is. Andy ain't bad. Andy is not bad at all. But I think that being a fan of Michonne and Denai, I think The Walking Dead never fully gave her exploitation of her charms, her seductive quality. They didn't go into the depth of the woman that she is, not just the sword and the badass and the support for the male lead, but that she is a goddess in her own right. And I think they captivated that very wonderfully in this series. Now going back to the end with Rick in the helicopter and being really nervous and then Michonne putting her hand on his, I thought that was just so, and you're not even seeing the actors' faces. That type of camera work is just very well conceived. So yeah, the directing in this episode, I don't have an issue with at all. Then them meeting up with their children. Rick, Michonne being the first one to hug her babies, I think that was appropriate with Rick hanging back and then hugging Judith first. That made sense just to have the moment of Michonne hugging RJ and being like, this is your father. He's nervous to meet you. Just me thinking she's whispering those things in his ears. And him saying, are you the brave man? And he says, yeah, I am. And then fixing the hat like he did for Carl. And then getting down to his level and said, but you could just call me dad.
Emotional damage.
Them hugging and kissing, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So let's flip to side B. Side B. I think that the timelines, if you're watching the other shows, really trip people up. And honestly,
I don't give a shit.
But I do think it's fair to say the immediacy in which the CRM, the higher echelon leadership, was dealt with may be a little too quickly wrapped up, maybe a little rushed. That would be a fair assessment. I do think that the way in which this particular 10%, and I don't think they really knocked out everyone. As we learn, there's spies all over the place, that there's other people that could easily assimilate the rest of the remaining CRM that was a part of the red part and decide to have their own evil little faction or remnants of backup plans be something that comes into play. But a lot of that speculation came from A, the fact that there's spinoff series, and B, our own, my as well. I wouldn't have thought this series was going to have a season two into the last episode. And I was starting to think, okay, and after season four, that maybe there was going to something that was going to happen where we would get a season two. So I started myself falling into that trap of this being a more lengthy story than the contracted bit that it was. And so some of the dissatisfaction with the whole CRM plot, if you were investing in it or you thought it was something more than we're going to destroy Portland, because that if you're watching the spinoff shows, well, that's not really news. There's nothing too new going on in that thought process. Like, a lot of people were thinking it's going to be a cure or that there's the variants. And I don't know anything about the variants because I don't watch the spinoff shows. So I think anyone who had any knowledge of that or was getting knowledge, or yeah, I was getting it clearly, but I don't like 100%, was investing that in something this show could possibly go towards in the future. But it said part of that is our own fault for getting ahead of what was essentially, and what I thought the first three episodes, them getting out of this organization and leaving with a bang. And they did exactly that. So I can't be too mad at them, even if, yes, watching those other shows, there may be some unexplained sloppiness. I will say the last couple of episodes, the repetitiveness was getting on my nerves. And as someone who writes, when I'm proofreading, the first thing I find that annoys me is when I use the same word an excessive amount of time. So I do this thing called clicking the thesaurus, and I find a different word in place of that so that it's the same expression, but using a different word so it doesn't come off as overly redundant. And Gimple had none of that refrain. Last episode, I felt like I could excuse it a little bit more because it was purposely trying to draw parallels between Michonne and Rick to the previous episode. But even then, it was pushing it in some places. Like, you can do anything together. While that's lovely sentiment, and I wholeheartedly believe it, after the fourth time, I'm like, shut the fuck up. God damn, nigga. Same thing with Rick talking about his daddy in the grass burning. I'm like, how fucking many times do I have to hear this? And you can't use a different word for the metaphor? Smoke it out. He said, we got to incinerate any other word than the ones that were used. It was excessive and excessively noticeable. And it kind of made me cringe in some places. I did laugh out loud when Michonne said, love doesn't die. Because I'm like, the fuck it doesn't. Anyone who's ever been in a breakup, divorce, oh, child support court knows that love can certainly die. But yes, their love is iconic and will never die. But I still didn't need you to say it like three times. I think they missed an opportunity with Thorne. She became also just a record. That's the word I'm looking for. She became a record player saying the same shit. Like, we know the way. We know the path. We got it. I think that they had a lot more they could have built with her. And that she was only so very newly indoctrinated. And Okorafor was spending more time with her trying to conceive of them going against the CRM in small ways that her transition so wholeheartedly didn't feel authentic, and neither did after being stabbed, did her saying, you were right, Like, no, if you're going to pick a fight with them and then you realize that, okay, he used me, that's his wife, then she shot at his foot. Like, come on now. Either you're here to kill them or you're not. Oh, I can't kill him, but I can kill you, the wife. I didn't want that. That's what I really did not want. The unnecessary need for two females to fight each other, even if it is for the emancipation, if you will. But I never felt like that was their relationship. So I think that there was a lot of mixed writing with Thorne's characterization. I'm fine with her buying all in, but if you're going to buy all in, then you're not going to shoot at Rick's feet. You're going to fucking shoot him after you see that Beale, is coming out. And then when you see someone coming at you and they're a walker, you don't fucking just stand there and wait for an explosion to happen. You don't stand there at all. You scream. You shoot at it in the head. Yeah, that was sloppy for me. And then Rick with the bomb. Like, there is no excusing that at all. He should have been dead. He should have been dead. I don't know why it was necessary for Michonne to find the rabbit for us to connect. We already had that moment where she found the cat. So that would have been the connective tissue to her helping Carl that first time. So the rabbit was, I think, dumb. dumb and unnecessary, if I'm being frank about it. So I just didn't, and then her being like, oh, I have to be the protector of children. Like, you know, you got bodies. I'm kidding. But yeah, and then them deciding that they're going to take certain children. Like, how the fuck, A, you get these pictures like this? These are Walmart, Target quality, or school pictures. And secondly, who's on this selection committee? And why these children? And what are their criteria? I thought that was weird. Someone did point out, I saw quickly on social media, that it was a missed opportunity not to have Judith or RJ up there. And I was like, yeah, that would have been great. But then that would have fucked with the ending, because then there would have been a spy in their midst. But there could still be a spy somewhere else, because you got Negan and Maggie and them doing shit. But they didn't want to have no nonsense towards Michonne's happiness at the end. So I can kind of understand why they wouldn't have done that. Not a direct threat. That was the whole point of the dossier to begin with. It's horrible enough that they would be killing all of these people and then taking their children and then brainwashing them into this cult. Because that's exactly what would have happened. And if the criterias were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, it's sounding a whole lot like Nazism. Them having the conversation about Rick losing the time, I thought was misplaced, because he was at a high height of anger when he was bashing that guy's entire cranium in. And that would have been the moment of, I'm angry about the time they took. Because I honestly didn't need that conversation or that additional kissing. There were some moments in the season where, like, the affection was a little inappropriately timely, but it was Michonne, so I didn't care. But in this one, it did. I was just like, yeah, okay, come on. Guys, we just get the fucking plan done and you have the rest of the life to sit there and reassure each other. You did it outside the gate. It was game time. And if you were going to have that moment, you should have had it downstairs, and I don't think a kiss would have been necessary. It just personally. But yeah, that's pretty much all the criticisms I had. Mostly it had to do with the script. And, well, we know who wrote it. Thing is, I do not hate Scott Gimple. I'm not a Scott Gimple hater at all. I think he did a lot of great things for The Walking Dead. One of them being Rashawn. So you're never going to have me hating on you. But I do think that his scripts can be a little left a little to be desired. The flashbacks also. Oh, yeah, that's the last other thing. I'm like, man, too many. I know you're trying to remind us all of their story, but too many. I really did think that the reunion scene was great. It was perfect for me. I didn't think that we were going to get it. Mimi was right with a lot of her predictions. I'm sure in the feedback, she'll be doing somersaults and an excessive amount of bragging, especially if it's opposed against my own opinion. But I'm not even mad. She nailed it, and I'm glad she nailed it, because this, I would have preferred what she was putting out versus some of the things versus not getting this or really dragging it out to season two. I don't think it even needed a season two. Like I said, I was so content after episode four. We could have went home and healed. A lot of people are like, well, why didn't Rick be a little bit more traumatic going into the CRM once again? Oh, also, why did he leave his badass looking armor? I can remake that badass looking armor and probably upgrade that bitch, because I know a guy. I know a guy that knows a guy that's in the same situation. So he wanted no association with the CRM. But I think that's a relevant point for him not at all being trepidatious about going back into the hellhole that was his life for almost a decade, or the prison that really was his life for a decade, and the people. And I wanted there to be a little bit more of a noticeable, and maybe not even right away, like a building tension to the understanding that this was not the same person. And when he was talking to Michonne in that moment, that would have been the appropriate time to also have a line or two to revisit that trauma, to know that it at least was something he was fighting through or on his mind. So that's a fair criticism as well. But overall, I am so happy the show has ended on such a high note. The Walking Dead. Yeah, because The Walking Dead officially ended with this miniseries for me. So it's been a long ride, a long experience, but it's been very much worth it in the end. And it's hard to say goodbye, but thanks for the memories. We have feedback, so let's hop into the mailbag.
Mail, motherfucker!
What up, Stina? It's Mimi. This is my feedback for the last episode of The Ones Who Live. It's bittersweet because it was such a good episode, so good, that I was like sad to do this feedback. I actually been postponing it because I know once I send it, that's the end, and I'm so sad that it's over. And I know people keep saying, oh, they're gonna give us another season. I don't think so. What I think they're gonna do is we might meet up with Rick and Michonne and the kids on other series, because I don't know why, but I just, I'm like trying, like I fell into a rabbit hole. I haven't watched any of I watched season, I think half of season 10. After Michonne left, I think I watched several episodes, and then Connie got lost, and I tried to keep watching, and I just lost interest. So there was like, I don't know, I think the second half of season 10 I never watched, or maybe like the last, you know, I don't even know. Like, I think I knew Alpha or Beta, like Alpha died and Beta died, and then I just never watched anything after that. I know Eugene had found some people, and then they met this crazy girl named Princess, and I just really couldn't watch it. I remember trying to watch one episode. It was in season 10. I don't remember what episode it was, but I remember trying to watch it literally like 12, 15, 16 times, and I kept falling asleep, or I would pick up my phone, and then I would forget it's on, and then it'll end, and I still don't know what's going on. And I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore, and I just stopped watching. But what I did was, I'm like trying to figure out, like, where were these babies at? Because you told me that they were in the Commonwealth, and I'm like, what the hell is the Commonwealth? So what I did was I went on YouTube, because that's what you always do. And I was like, because usually what I'll do is, like, I'll go on TikTok, but I really don't utilize YouTube like I should. And I pay for like the premium, no commercials. So I was like, let me, you know, get my money's worth. And then I was like, oh snap. So that's where the babies were. They were in the Commonwealth with Daryl, and he was raising them babies. He was working. Apparently the Commonwealth, like, I can't believe, I feel like that would have literally turned me into the governor. It would have been the, being in the Commonwealth would have turned me into the fucking, like, that would have been my villain origin story. I would have lost my shit. Are you telling me your bitch ass brought back money? We are in the zombie apocalypse where we can't even, we're literally starting over from scratch. There's nothing. And you have the audacity to have us in the haves and have nots. Are you fucking stupid? I would have literally, like, I think I would have been killed from losing my shit. I'd have beat the shit out of the governor's son. I'd have beat the shit out of the governor. I would have literally started a riot. There is no way I would have went into this town finding out that there's money. We've been fighting for our lives. We are decade into the zombie apocalypse, and I find a society, and y'all bitches have the audacity to make me poor again? Motherfucker, we all poor. I would have lost my shit. I am seriously, like, this is fucking crazy. But that's neither here nor there. So then I find out that Daryl's, like, working, trying to support the babies. Like, this man is getting up, going to, like, the army services or whatever, because he got to provide for RJ and Judith. I don't know why, but that's so cute. And it made me want to watch that last season of The Walking Dead, and at least fast forward through the people I don't like. I might do it. Maybe, I don't know. But I did get a recap of all, like, the, I would like to shout out, I think his name is Man of Recaps or something. He was pretty cool. I like his, like, method. You could tell there was, like, some characters that he liked more than others, but he didn't, like say anything disrespectful or rude to anyone. You could just tell, like, with little, like, just the way he, like, his enthusiasm, who he preferred. And I saw, like, he did a recap from seasons 1 through 10, and then he did, like, season 11. So I'm all caught up. And then he even did a recap for Daryl Dixon. So I got to see what happened with Daryl. And that actually, I still don't understand how he ended up in Paris. But I do actually think I might even watch that. It's on my DVR. I saved it. I don't know why I recorded it. I do like Daryl. And I tried to watch the first episode, but then when I realized he was in Paris, I was like, I feel like I missed a lot. But now that I got a summary, I think I might watch season one, because it's not that many episodes. And it, I mean, clearly I've been spoiled, but just look interesting, and I kind of want to see it play out. I also think that if I'd have followed, like, if I'd have stayed with The Walking Dead, if I could have, like, endured it, I wouldn't still dislike Gabriel, because it sounds like the motherfucker became a badass. It took him, I guess, losing everybody and realized, motherfucker, you the only one left. Because when Michonne left, it seemed like maybe he took the mantle of being the protector of Alexandria. I don't know. I don't know why. I keep coming back to the Commonwealth, because they were so insidious that I feel like what I learned about them makes me, like, they're worse than the governor, worse than Negan. It's like, how dare you? Like, how can you have these kind of ambitions at the end of the world? And how do you get to a place where you feel like you can charge people money and make them work? Like, you have these fancy schmancy parties that only the 1% can go to. Motherfucker, the people that are left on the planet are the 1%. How? I'm sorry. I was listening to it on my drive to work, and I was just flabbergasted. I cannot believe the Commonwealth, and the fact that, like, I mean, I understand why Judith and RJ and I'm assuming, like, you know, all of Alexandria, why they were there, because they were running out of food and they didn't have anywhere else to go. Why they would be there. But I feel like if Rick and Michonne were there, there's no way it would have lasted. And then I saw Connie in the Commonwealth. I'm like, oh my God, when did she come back? Did her and Daryl have interactions? They didn't talk about ships in the recap. It was literally just a summary. Anyway, now that I got me going in the rabbit hole is, like, literally what you just heard. Like, that's how I was, like, I just kept clicking one thing after the other. Oh, my God. And I even did Fear the Walking Dead, because I couldn't understand how Morgan, how does he go from The Walking Dead, the television show, to Fear the Walking Dead? Because the last episode I saw, the Fear of the Walking Dead, they were, like, years behind, because they were, like, the prequel. Like, what happened, we saw, like, actively as people were finding out about The Walking Dead. And I got a recap of that. So that was pretty interesting. But seeing, like, watching those recaps is what makes me think maybe we might just get Rick and Michonne and the kids in these other shows. That way, Danai and Andy aren't committed to anything, but we still get to see them. Because apparently the final episode of the series finale of The Walking Dead, Rick and Michonne were both in it. I didn't even know that. That's how people found out that the Ones Who Live was going to be a thing. That would have been a dope-ass ending had I been following. But anywho, back to this recap. I honestly loved it. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I didn't want it to be longer. But I did enjoy it. The one thing I feel like I want to bring up, because I do feel like had this show been longer in episodes and we could have developed, you know, some type of relationship as viewers with, what is her name? The South African lady, Thorne. I think her death would have been more satisfying, is the right word. Maybe I would have had more emotion with it, because I know you said, like, last recap, you were like, you know, Thorne hasn't done anything. But when we find out about the briefing and we find out what they were doing, and like, there is no way I would have sat there and listened to that. Like, we knew Rick and Michonne already knew that the CRM were on some bullshit. Like, that, we already knew that. But how much of bullshit that they were on I can't even fathom sitting in that meeting and putting my hand on that sword and be like, I swear on the sword. Are you fucking kidding me? This is what makes me go back to, like, the Commonwealth. We are all that, humanity is dying out. There's such a small portion, and we're this far in. Everybody that has made it, we are fucking survivors. We made it this far. There's no way. I don't believe you when you say we're going to die in 14 years. Humanity is going to be out. We're humans adapt. And maybe us dying off is what this planet needs. Maybe that's how we go. the dinosaurs aren't here anymore. We don't know what the fuck happened to them. Okay, so that's fine. But you're telling me that because you think the best way for us to survive is for us to be the only superpower in the planet. Like, that's the dumbest shit I ever heard. You don't think maybe we might survive if we're all together? So you're going to go to all these other, like, implant people in these other societies, sabotage them, kill everybody, take their resources so that the CRM can survive. How could you agree with just the fact that Thorne heard that fucking briefing and she was okay with it lets me know. That's why they kill A's, because there's no way people like Rick, people like Michonne, people from Alexandria, like they made it their mission to go out and find people and bring them in. Carl, had he lived, you know what I'm saying? Now I know Judith is going to be just like her big brother and her fucking parents. Like, there's no way. Like, the fact that she heard that and she agreed and she was so committed, there's no way. Like, I don't believe she was redeemable. There, like, we have no way of really knowing because we didn't see her. We didn't get, you know, emotionally involved with her. We didn't hear her anything outside of her backstory. We didn't find out why she was so, like, you know, we didn't even hear all of the briefing. Rick only heard a little bit of it. So, you know, there was more. But that whole ending, that's the one thing I didn't like, how she was like, Rick, you were right. What happened between y'all fighting, you trying to kill him, and Michonne stabbing you that made you all of a sudden feel like Rick was right, you know, Okafor was right, Bill was wrong? Like, I didn't buy that. Because I don't feel like enough happened and the conversation didn't go long enough. You know, yes, Michonne was like, love, you know, love does exist. You fight for love. But that's not enough to turn her. I don't know. I didn't like that. But I did like how both Rick and Michonne fought her. I love how you got what you wanted and I got what I wanted. Michonne got her sword and Rick and Thorne fought. But in the whole time, I never even, like, it never occurred to me. I never, like, felt like it was, like, two strong black women fighting. It was just two people fighting for different ends of the, what they believed in. And just a side note, one thing I would like to point out, Christina, because I feel like a lot of times people always say, you know, we want to see black people do this, we want to see black people do that. But when there's two black women fighting, you know, whether it's, you know, on a Marvel movie, two black women that are in a television show, people always say they never want to see two black women fight. I do, because I feel like it means that we can be on two different ends. I want to see a black woman fight another black woman because one's a superhero, one's a villain. Or, like, we're not fighting over a man, we're fighting because we have two different beliefs. You think that the CRM are saviors, and I know that they're fucking the devil. And we're fighting because we believe different things. And that's the way I took it. That's the way I wanted Thorne and Michonne to fight it out. Because I wanted it to be an equal match between two badass fucking black women. And that's exactly what I got. And the fact that Rick was like, you go get the gas mask and you get Thorne and I'm going to go, you know, take out some of these walkers. And she was like, why? Because you got the sword. Enough said. We knew exactly what he meant, because Michonne is a badass. And as soon as she got that sword, it was on one. And I loved it. I hate that they tried to get us. And I was like, there ain't no way that I don't believe that Rick is going to die. I don't believe that Michonne is going to die. Y'all is not going to do that to us. There's no fucking way they made it this far and y'all going to kill him. Because people were all over Twitter talking about some, yeah, you guys are going to be sorry when Michonne and Rick both die and they never make it to their kids. Ain't no way Danai and Rick and Andy are going to sign up for some shit like that. I don't believe you. Rick can't lose another hand. He got one. He not going to get bit. He not going to have to cut nothing off. I don't believe you. And I didn't believe it for a second that Rick was going to die or deny or Michonne. I knew. I didn't know how it was going to end or what was going to happen, but They didn't trick me. I knew. The only thing I wasn't expecting, because you had got, like, you really got me when you were like, oh, there's no way they're going to meet up with the kids because they're in Commonwealth. And I was like, damn, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where the babies are. Oh, my God. If Christine's right, I would be so mad. And when Andy, I keep saying Andy, but when Rick and Michonne got off that plane, that helicopter, I saw the little gun. I was like, I know that. That is Judith. That's Judith. Oh my God. The run towards them holding the hat. And I found out that the hat that RJ was wearing was Carl's hat. Literally the same exact hat. The boots that Rick was wearing, exact same boots he wore in the first season. The costume designer was like, I thought them shoes were going to break into dust. She didn't think they were going to make it. But that sword was Michonne's sword. Like, everything that happened, like, they planned everything. It was, oh, my God, it was so perfect. And then when RJ was like, I knew you'd come back, I was looking at Denai. I don't know why. I was just randomly looking at Denai when he said that. And she looked, like, surprised. And I was like, oh, my God, they are acting. Oh, my God, I loved it. I was, like, a fucking blubbery ass best because I really had come to terms with the fact that they weren't going to be reunited. And I thought maybe we just get them reunited, you know, in another show that I'm going to have to watch. But then we saw them. And, it like, there was some more scenes, apparently, that they cut out. And I found that out on Twitter. But I'm assuming they're going to have some type of like reunion or something where we get to talk. And I think it might be out on AMC Plus. But usually stuff on AMC Plus is on AMC, but you just got to wait for it to air. So I'm going to just keep an eye out for that because I definitely want to say there's probably going to be another next Sunday because the Daryl Dixon, I think that one starts. Oh my God. I don't think that starts this week. I didn't already forgot when it starts. I wanted to say it starts in May, but we're only in April. Anyway, and that outfit that Michonne had on when they got off the helicopter, I don't know who put that together, but that shit ate. And one thing I will say is even when they were in the zombie apocalypse, Michonne always found herself a nice ass fit. Whenever they were in somebody's, like, whenever they found a new house, she always in the closet, always found something nice. She be dressing. What else? Oh, I love the fight scenes. I was so surprised when Rick stabbed Beale. Because when Okafor, like, I knew when he said about the sword thing, I was like, that's going to come back up. I got to remember. Of course, I didn't remember. But as soon as they had the flashback, I know you don't need flashbacks, Christina, but I do. And I appreciated that flashback because I was like, oh, yeah, I knew that would come back. That's what he meant. I was like, don't let it stick. I was like, okay, so he's telling Rick, do what he says, like swear on the sword, but don't really do it because it's not. I need you to be different. But Rick took that shit to a whole nother level. The way he killed him. Fucking crazy. Oh, and my other thing was I loved that in the end, even though Nate died, he still got revenge because in that year that him and Michonne were together, he clearly taught her a lot of stuff because she used his knowledge to fuck up the entire CRM. Like, she killed all of the people that knew all 2,533 people that knew that briefing. Like, they're all gone. Everybody. Like, and she killed them the way that his friends died with that fucking chlorine gas. That was awesome. Like, that whole, like, thing was ingenious. And the way they used the dead to pull, like, the grenades to like, oh my God, it was just superb. I had no idea what they were doing. I didn't understand, but as soon as I saw, I was like, that's awesome. And then the other thing that I was thinking about, because I know they went back to the CRM to get Jadis you know, her briefing about Alexandria, but it sounds like they already knew about Alexandria. The CRM knew about everybody. They even had, you know, those people planted to sabotage all these different communities, like sleeper cells, like to like get into politics and to deliberately mislead them so that one day the CRM could come in, destroy everybody and take their resources. So, you know, it was good that they went back. Alexandria would have been in danger even if Jadis hadn't, you know, wrote her little briefing and put it in a cat. She's so ridiculous. Her room looked like, you just know she was in that room by herself all the time because nobody fucking like her. I just know it. I can tell. And the way that Michonne didn't hesitate to take that lady out, she's like, you know, General Stokes, I don't think she's a general major. I think she's a Major Stokes. Are you in there? Michonne hid behind the door. She quickly choked her out. I was like, damn, you and Rick ain't playing. Y'all getting back to your babies. Yeah, I think that's all I can really talk about right now. I'm just so, like, I could talk for so long because there, I can't speak for anybody else. There, other than the Thorn thing when they had her, like, you know, give her mask to Rick, her gas mask to Rick because she all of a sudden, right before she died, had a change of heart. I didn't find that believable. I didn't like that thing. I would have preferred to, you know, her just die or, you know, say some other speech about, you know, anything. You know, like maybe even her saying, you know, we can find out who she was waiting for. It's like, at least now, you know, I didn't make it to South Africa, but maybe I'll see my son or my husband, my girlfriend, whoever it is. Maybe I'll see them on the other side or some shit like that and then die. And then Rick just took her mask. I would have preferred that. I didn't believe that. But that was the only thing about this series finale that I didn't enjoy. And it wasn't even a big deal to where it ruined everything for me, because at the time when I was watching it, even when I rewatched, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just something that as I was thinking about kind of like stood out as something I would have changed. But I loved it. I thought it did such a good job. It showed us who Rick and Michonne are. It showed us who, like, what they're fighting for, because the fact that, like, Michonne basically said it, like, we can't leave these people like this. Like, what kind of world are we leaving for our children? Even if we die, we gotta at least try, because they can't grow up in a world like this. Which makes me think that there was no way that, you know, the Commonwealth is different now, but I, like, there's no way Rick and Michonne would have allowed that, because that's some bullshit. We shouldn't have class systems in the zombie apocalypse. This is the one time when money should never be a factor. Anyway, let me end it here because I know I've been talking a lot and I don't want to hear you be dragging me. Anyway, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Until next time, love, peace, hair grease, and black girl magic. Queen of the Couch, Mimi, out.
That was Queen Mimi with her fabulous recap and review of the episode. Girl, I think you did a better job than I did. And I love how pissed off you're at the Commonwealth for their, I did not really go deeply into it. Like, when I go on YouTube videos, I don't just go to recap. Sometimes I just type in all scenes with Daryl, all scenes with Daryl and Connie, all scenes with RJ and the kids. And that's how I got through a lot of the last two seasons. And yeah, I did know about that Rick and Michonne were in the finale. I did get that part when it happened, because I was like, Rick and Michonne? But I saw that not on the finale. I saw that on a YouTube video. I can't believe you playing premium and not getting your money's worth. How dare you? It's not like premium's cheap. Anyhow, I really liked your take on this episode. I'm glad we're both on the same boat in regards to Thorn, that it wasn't really believable, Plus, it just came off of another character that's dying, and it's like, I made a mistake. It's like, well, too late to take it back now, so you might as well die on that hill instead of... So yeah, they were supposed to be at the Commonwealth. I guess they figured it out. I don't even think they were going to go into the schematics. I don't think it was even necessary, but... Yes. Fair point about Thorn. Like, if we had more time to flesh her out and understand what her own trauma was, that would have probably went a little further into mirroring her characterization with Rick. You're right about the fight that it was 2-on-1. Even though she should have known if Michonne's in that fight, she's losing it. I think she would have been able to try to fight Rick, but there was no fucking way she was going to take on Michonne. So I think it worked out great that she was the one that killed her, and it was with her sword, her traditional weapon. So all your points about that was absolutely spot on. I do think that your point also about we do fall into these, not certainly, definitely don't want to fall into certain tropes, or we're very protective and decisive about what we do and don't want our Black characters to do, or how it's perceived and so on and so forth. And that's, yeah, that is a little annoying. I've even found myself recently in some podcasts, like, talking about a certain thing, and I find I go on a, it feels like I'm on a stance, and I hate it because that's not what I mean, but that it's somehow conceptualized itself in there. So true to call out needing a balance there. And for the reasons that you pointed it out, I do think that this show was very successful in handling that. It didn't fall into those tropes that I was concerned about. And I think that's maybe why I was bringing it up, because, yeah, it's like sometimes you want to trust that they won't, that they would do it correctly, but sometimes that trust, unfortunately, is misplaced, and more often than not, we're seeing more examples of two Black women doing the opposite and not just being two badasses and one just being on the other side or the opposing side of the other person's philosophy, or even just being evil. That's fair enough. You could be just an evil Black character, or an evil character that just happens to be Black. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I don't think we've had enough positive examples to offset the insecurity around what could possibly be building up to. So I was happy to be incorrect about that. And I think your points on it, once again, were really good. I did say at the beginning of this show that the people that captained this ship, that made this ship, are the ones that conceptualized this miniseries, talked about it, put it together, spent a lot of time, investment, money, back and forth with the network. This was their baby. So to me, when everyone kept bringing up how they were gonna die, this, that, and the other thing. Like, the thing about the kids, only because I thought, yeah, they might actually tell a story over a couple of seasons. But that's the only thing that was a real, true possibility of not happening. Them dying, I was just like, what? The title of the show is The Ones Who Live. Did we not get that memo? And I didn't worry too much when it came to their love story, because they've always been about their love story, and they finally got a chance to celebrate that and really delve into what they built with these characters. And they wanted to do so, and they had input from both characters about what they wanted to do before they decided to even work with AMC. So no, to me, the possibility of them dying just wasn't credible. And I get people are permitted to speculate, so I wasn't even just investing in that, because that's just a part of TV watching. So to tell them you can't think that other than in a joking manner, because I was like, yeah, one person I watched was like, yeah, that you keep saying that happens, I'm going to split your throat. It shouldn't have been taken as a serious endeavor, or anyone being like, oh man, they really was setting it up for them to die. I'm like, no, they weren't. What's this? We got 14 years. Oh yeah. 14 years before society collapsed. I'm like, based on what kind of data? And we ain't got nobody other than you looking over this data. This is why we have a scientific community that reviews scientific journals. And just because you put something or publish something in a journal, that doesn't mean that people in your field are going to respond and say you're correct. And I think a lot of people, myself included, until I was educated, is a little unaware of how that process works. Anyone can have a theory or whatever the fact, or an experiment, but just because you put out some data or you're telling people this data doesn't mean that it's 100% correct. I'm like, can we get some fact checking in here? Can we get a second, third, and fourth opinion before we just decide let's kill everyone else so we only have so much of the population and then take everything else from every... Like, that's crazy talk. That just sounds like I would like to be a dictatorship and think about only me and mine. That's what that is. And girl, what you talk about? We don't know what killed the dinosaurs. An asteroid killed the dinosaurs, followed by climate change. One part I did forget to bring out, because you brought it up, was Okafor. I'm glad you brought up the sword, because I did not get that reference until you said it. So I'm glad you reminded me. Even in the flashback, I was like, and I think I was just so burnt out from flashbacks. See, that's what happens when you use too many. Then you don't get the ones that actually matter instead of just using the ones that actually matter. And then you won't tune out on the other ones. But the one part about Okafor being given credit, I think that's a little bit of a stretch, because he was trying to go in with a one-man plan, and that, yeah, it ended up working out in the end, but a Hail Mary should not be given credit. And then dim Okafor from Beale at the end, I thought was a little silly. Because Okafor also, in case you forgot, bombed Omaha. He needed help making change, but he wasn't taking the firm stance, I think, that Rick and Michonne both were very clearly taking. I'm glad you discussed the behind the scenes, because I knew you would. And I did watch it. I watched the message from Andy, the message from Denai, but I did not discuss it in the podcast, because I know we're going to be saturated with content and a lot of people talking about this episode, a lot more enunciated revelations and massaging of this episode. I think I need a lot more time with it. And I, like I said, I think for me, the episode 4 kind of peaked. And because of that, everything else, like I said, was really, 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 really good. But that's kind of in my mind. They got in that car and then they drove home, and then they met their babies, and that was the end of the show. If you have any lingering thoughts, leave those comments below. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic. Loving me the way I love you, loving me cause I am in love with you. You set me free. I can't do this thing cause